go to Bing's and you cross the table. Eating beans and I'm making love as long as I'm able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. I'm continuing my conversation with co-authors David Shields and Chef Kevin Mitchell. We're talking about their recent book, Taste the Steak, South Carolina's Signature Foods and Recipes. Up next, Chef Kevin talks about pepper greens, pot liquor, and using it for Bloody Marys. Yes, you heard me right. So you got to hear this. Now I'll start my conversation with Kevin, but of course, David jumps in as well.
But now, Kevin, I did see where you have spicy collard greens that you make with some red peppers.
Well, going back to the statement about pot liquor, I mean, the beautiful thing about pot liquor, it can be made from any type of green. It can be made from cabbage. The flavor is going to be different. Of course, for me, cabbage is a little bit sweeter, so that liquor is going to be a little bit sweeter. And there's an entry in the book that specifically talks about pot liquor on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the spicy greens recipe, that just came from a media lead for an article that was written in the Charleston magazine for, they were doing an article about specific dishes and cocktails or drinks that you can eat or and drink for the new year. And I was asked to be a part of this, and I was given a specific drink, which was the Bloody Mary. I don't drink Bloody Marys. Tomato juice and alcohol is not a cocktail that I think is very fascinating. So for me, having to create a Bloody Mary drink was very interesting. But in that token, I decided I was going to do a play off of the traditional food that African Americans eat for New Year's, of course, Hop and John or rice and peas and greens. And I wanted the recipe for the greens to be a little bit from the norm. So by adding red pepper for color, adding, of course, cayenne for spice was kind of my way of taking that recipe into a different direction, but still holding true to what collard greens are and the flavor of collard greens. And then an interesting take on the Hop and John or the rice and peas was to turn it into a fritter.
Oh.
Where you cook the rice and peas, you cool it, you form it into a ball, and then you, of course, you bread it and deep fry it and serve it with these with the greens, which for me still held true to the tradition of eating those particular things on New Year's Eve, but eating them in a different way.
Yeah. Mm. Well, definitely that's what's on my table for New Year's, for sure. Okay, so we've talked about the cornbread, the biscuits. You all have me hungry, but what about the things that come out of the water? Fish, crab, shrimp, oysters, clams. I mean, there's so much good food that we can gather and harvest right out of the water. And of course, shrimp and grits. I know that's a connection and has its legacy kind of straight up out of Charleston. It's where a lot of people believe it has come from.
Yeah, well, shrimp and hominy was an old breakfast dish in the post-Civil War era. Yeah, huh? A lot of newspaper stories about it, but never called shrimp and grits. That's only since the 1980s. Always called shrimp and hominy.
So is it true that it does come from, did it originate in the Charleston area?
Yeah, it was.
On the shrimp boats is kind of where they started preparing it.
What probably actually happened, I mean, a colonial period dish was shrimp and rice with shrimp gravy.
Mm.
And that's ancient old. With the Civil War, rice cultivation was disrupted. What happened, I think, was there was a substitution for the most popular grain, rice, by the second most popular grain, corn, in the form of grits, providing the grain base for the shrimp and the shrimp gravy. So I think it's entirely a post-Civil War dish prompted by the scarcity of rice and just substituting one grain for the other.
What's interesting about the shrimp and grits conversation is initially truly the only form of grits that was used, it had to be white corn grits, right? And then at some point, chefs started introducing the yellow form of grits, and of course they were looked upon as if they were crazy, because true traditionalists always saw that dish with white grits. And now, of course, in today's times, you have yellow, you have, you know, there's a gentleman that produces orange grits, and then of course you have blue corn, and then the most famous, you know, from the Charleston area would be the Jimmy Red Corn grits. So purists always look towards the white, but as a chef, you know, we like to experiment. We like to look at things very differently. So we definitely start looking at these other forms or other colors, other types of grits, you know, the pencil cob grit that is produced by Anson Mills, which is a yellow grit, speckled grits that have little speckles of red in them. So, you know, for me, if I'm shrimp and grits at home, whatever grits I have in the house, that's what we're eating. And I'm not necessarily a purist. It doesn't have to be white, but there is a debate on the actual gravy, whether it's a brown gravy or whether it's more of a tomato base, something that's a little bit thinner. I always move towards doing a brown gravy, almost like taking it to inspirations in gumbo. So I start off with a really nice brown roux to make the gravy. You know, as a chef and working in a culinary school, you know, and having these recipes, I always, you know, have access to, you know, real shrimp stock or fish stock, as opposed to using, you know, chicken stock or, of course, the old standby water. So, but I am not a traditionalist. I mean, I love the dish. I'll eat whatever grits are placed in front of me. I was introduced to grits by my grandmother, of course. The shrimp, you know, whether it has sausage in it or bacon in it, tomatoes in it, peppers, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, true recipes really only had just shrimp and the gravy on top of rice, as David said, and of course moved into the grits.
Yeah, one of the things that you'll hear old South Carolina cooks talk about is how to make the shrimp stock. And what they do is they take you peel the shrimp, and then you take the peels and you fry them in a skillet until they turn, you know, dark pink. And then you put water in and you boil that. And the flavor from the cooked shells is intensely shrimpy. And of course you take the shells out and just use the liquid, which is salt, as the liquid component of whatever roux mix that you're making into a gravy.
It all sounds delicious to me. I love shrimp and grits. One of my favorite items on any menu. I'm usually going to choose that. Let's stop, take a break here, and when we come back, I'll continue my conversation right here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Back in a moment.
She's a gamecock or a tiger. She'll make you want to stop. Stay a while or just have